And open your Bibles, please, to the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy work, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How sad it is when the Lord has to say concerning a company of his dear people, thou art dead. I got an illustration this morning. I looked for Lester in the crowd and I was going to have him give it to us, but he's not here. Don't tell him I stole his illustration. I heard a preacher preach one time, and I put the note in my Bible that when God begins a work, it generally starts with a man of God, used by God. And then we have a movement, a divine movement, a spiritual movement, which degenerates into a monument. And in Christendom today, we have many monuments to men of God who started a movement. But it's just a monument now. But Brother Lester was telling me this morning that when he was having a series of meetings on Christians and their conduct, he used an illustration of a man who repairs television. And he went to repair a television in a home, and he asked the lady, what's wrong with your television? And she says, it don't tell me nothing and it don't show me nothing. Now it had a name to live, a lovely name, Tell-A-Vision. But it did neither of the two. Now the object of the church in the world is to tell a vision. When the Lord Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'm leaving you here. And why are you leaving us here, Lord? Well, I want you to see me and reflect me, and I want you to hear me, and I want you to tell what I tell you. And that's the only business of the church. The Lord Jesus in the glory, and the church for him down here, to tell what we have seen and what we have heard. But how sad it is that many professed companies of God's people are like that television. It don't tell me nothing, it don't show me nothing. Dead. And I think it's very blessed to notice how the Lord Jesus reveals himself here in the letter to this judge. Here we have the remedy. What does he say? These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. There's the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, and there's the fullness of the testimony. And you cannot have the one without the other. You cannot be Elijah when he's gone unless you've heard and seen him. I suppose you know the story of those two men who went together. And Elijah said, Elijah, I'm going to leave you. The Lord's going to take me to glory. And you'll be left behind when I'm gone. And so they in the resurrection ground, Elijah bids farewell to Elijah. But before he goes, he says, Elijah, what would you like? You can have what you want. God always gives you what you want. You can have what you want. Ask of me. I'll give it to you. Well, said Elijah in effect, I've seen you, Elijah. Your path was the path of the will of God. I heard you say, the Lord told me to go to Gilgal. The Lord told me to go to Bethel. The Lord told me to go to Jericho. The Lord has brought me here, and he's going to take me to heaven. A path in the will of God. And I've seen you in these various places. You're going away, I'm going back. I want to be you when you're gone. I want to be your double. That's what Elijah asked for. Elijah said, that's a hard thing. And it is a hard thing to be somebody else instead of yourself. It is. And that's what Elijah wanted to be. He wanted to be Elijah when Elijah was gone. Well, said Elijah, though it's a hard thing, it's not an impossible thing. You can be, but there's one condition. If you see me when I go and receive my spirit, then you can be me when I'm gone. And Elisha saw the man in the glory and received of his spirit. And when he retraced the steps and associated with those who had seen Elijah, you know what they said? The spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elijah. Lord Jesus is the man in the glory. And he has the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, an abundant supply to meet our needs. And it's only as we have the spirit of the man in the glory that we can show him down here, and that we can witness for him down here. And there will be something to be seen and something to be heard. Christ seen in our lives, Christ heard in our testimony for him. There's a student, an art student, He loved his master to be like him, to paint as he painted. His master died before his education was finished. But he had the same ambition. One day he went to the widow of the artist, and he said, "I have a request to make. I hope you'll grant it to me. I love the master. You know I did." "Yes, lad, I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want?" "I want the master's brushes." "Would you give me the master's brushes?" And she said, "Sure I will. He thought a lot of you. Go in. Go in the studio. Take what you want." Oh, how delighted he was. But after some time he came back, disappointed. And she said, "What's wrong?" "Well," he said, "it's the master's spirit I need. It's not his brushes." Not the message we need today. The one thing needed today is Holy Ghost ministry, Holy Ghost living, the power of the Spirit of God manifested in the people of God in a world that rejected God's Son, so that Christ may be seen and heard in the church here on earth. That's the testimony. But you're dead. You're dead. Your death is Christ. Without the Spirit, an image is death. 1st time I traveled out east, my wife, we stopped in a certain place and we said, "Let's go. I'm having a meeting tonight." And we went. When we came out, I said, "What about it?" She said, "A refrigerator." A refrigerator. And I could write over many public buildings where people meet professedly to hear the voice of God. Cemetery. Nothing but tombstones there. A name on them. Oh, yeah. But dead. Dead. Oh, God grant that may not be true of us. I'm not giving you expository teaching. I'm not giving you prophetic teaching. I'm just trying to get some personal, practical lessons out of these letters. And I pray God that I'll never be like that television, dead. And people fail to see Christ in my life and fail to get a message that'll cheer their hearts and encourage them and strengthen them in the things of God. God grant that Christ may be seen in our lives, and that our lips may tell the most wonderful story he has ever heard, the story of Jesus. Now, what are we to do if there is this cold, chilly, dead atmosphere in which we find ourselves? The first word is, be watchful. Be watchful. Get your eye on that man in heaven. He's coming. And it is in connection with his coming again that we have this word. For if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Ever since the Lord Jesus went to glory, this has been his word to his dear beloved people. I'm coming again. Keep your eyes heavenward, glory-ward. Watch. There's a preacher friend of mine. I like to tell of how he went to a place for meetings on the Lord's Day. And on Saturday he said to his children, who were just like steps in the stepladder, He said, I don't know when I'm coming home. I'm going for the Lord's Day for meeting. But they may ask me to do a little visiting on Monday, and I may stay, but I may not. Tuesday is their prayer meeting, and they may ask me to stay for the prayer meeting and give a little word. I will. And he just outlined each of the days what might happen. But he also said, I may come on Monday, I may come home on Tuesday, I may come home on Wednesday, but I'm to speak in our own chapel next Lord's Day, so I will be home by next Lord's Day. Well, Monday, the children were all at the station. Just one train a day. Some places, no train today now. And there they were. Tuesday, they were there. Wednesday, they were there. Thursday, they were there. Friday, they were there. Saturday, they went and they said, he's got to come now. This is the last day. And sure enough, before ever the train stopped, there he was, waving from the window, and they were waving at him. It wasn't very long before they were surrounding him, and they said, oh, Daddy, you came the last day. We looked for you every day. We were here Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and now here you come. He said, I know, I didn't tell you what day I was coming. I told you you had to meet me, and didn't I keep you clean all week, though? And if we lose the sense of the blessed hope, we're not going to be a testimony to our blessed Lord. It's that that revives God's people. Revive us again, O Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming any moment. We're not waiting for the tribulation. We're not waiting for the man of sin. We're not waiting for developments in this world. We're waiting for his Son from heaven. Watch! You put any period between you now and his coming again and you won't be watching. Any moment, every moment, we're to watch, be on the lookout, on tiptoe of expectancy. The next thing may be his blessed presence. You don't watch, you come as a thief. And he's coming as a thief. He is. I'm going to apply it a little differently. He's not coming as a thief for those who know him and love him. He's coming as our lover, our bridegroom, to bring us to the wedding after he's assigned us our positions at the judgment seat. But I can picture that father with his little girlie. She's been to Sunday school, and she's got a Sunday school paper, and she wants him to read it. And he reads it to her, and she looks in his face and says, Daddy, do you love Jesus? Oh, you can't love anybody you've never seen. What's the matter with you? Don't you love Jesus? I told you you couldn't love anybody you never saw. But, Daddy, do you believe I love Mother? Yes, dear. And she was the darlingest woman that ever lived. But I never saw her, Daddy. Never saw her. You know why I love Mother? Because you told me about her. You know why I love Jesus? They tell me about him. So I never saw him. Well, that's nice for you, girl. And his arms empty. He's gone. He came as a thief. In the night. He wasn't expecting them. He took the best that man had in all the world, the little girlie that loved the Lord. And I'm telling you something that has actually happened, not in the way I say. Here's a woman. A bitter enemy of the gospel is her husband. You're not going to that meeting. But she says, we're going to remember the Lord this morning. And he said, do this till I come. And I've got to obey him. Well, you suffer when you come back. He opens the door. He's there to meet him. Did you go to that meeting? Yes, I did, and we had a wonderful time. I told you, didn't I? And he strikes and hits the wall. He's gone. You come to rob him of the best treasure in all the world. Some child will wake up in the morning. Mother! No answer. Father! No answer. During the night, for her, the thief is coming. She's in expectation. Watch! Be on the alert. Look! He's come. He's come. That's the word he has for us today. A watching church. A watching people. Our eyes heavenward, our heart's affections centered in that man. There will be a testimony. There must be a testimony. Then he has some other things to say. He says, strengthen the things which remain. And that's another good word for our day. Strengthen the things that remain. Here's a bruised reed. Don't break it. Don't break it. Here's a smoking flax. Don't blow it out. Peter was a bruised reed. No music from him. He was a smoking flax with smoke and not flame. But the Lord Jesus strengthened him. That look of love, that secret meeting with him. And look at the reed on the day of Pentecost. And look at the light. Oh, I'm so glad that in the Bible we find God, the God of recovery. Things may be bad, and they are, in spite of our boasting. But the cause is not lost. Know that God is the God of recovery. Revive us again. Revive us again. And if we pray that prayer, then it will be seen in what we do, whether we mean it or not. If there's one thing that I dislike, when folks tell me about the meeting they're in, this and that and the other thing, make it better by one. If you're better than the other, fine. God is the God of revival. The devil's best tool is discouragement. Strengthen. Strengthen the things that remain. Somebody said, well, they're ready to die. Well, I want to be there at the funeral then. But there won't be that. There's the word of encouragement. Then he says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Whenever I read this, I think of the story that Brother Sheldrick told. He told of a farmer in Saskatchewan. And a neighbor moved in next to him. He didn't have a fence, but he put up a fence. And I think he was taking about 18 feet that belonged to our brother. And he went out and told him about it. Well, he says, you're wrong. Here's where the fence is going to be. And they had words about it. They were going to go law about it. Then one night, he couldn't sleep. He had no peace. All right. His wife began to talk to him. Said, dear, do you remember when those evangelists came to our region? Yeah. Do you remember when I went one night and came back and told you that I was saved? Yes. You remember you questioned it and said nobody can know that they're saved?
Yes.
You remember when I persuaded you to go to the meeting?
Yes.
You remember what happened?
Yes.
What happened? Well, I lost the load of sin. That's right. How does the world seem to you when you get saved? Oh, you know, my dear. Yes, but tell me. Well, I sang lustily, take the world, but take me, Jesus. You really did?
Uh-huh.
Did you mean it?
Yeah. What about 18 feet of it then?
So early in the morning he goes over. And there's the other man.
He said, we'll go to law today.
We'll do no such thing.
What?
No such thing. You leave the fence where it is. I have dealings with God.
Right.
I remember when he saved my soul. And I have infinitely more than you have. You've just got a little bit of this world. I've got a savior in heaven. And an inheritance that's eternal. Where do you think the fence went? Back. Remember. It's a wonderful thing to look back, turn over the pages of your history, and get to the day when God saved you. Remember how you heard. Remember. But I want to say a little something about the recompense here. There's remember. First there's watchful, and then strengthen, and then remember, and then hold fast, and then repent. But here's the recompense, and I like this. There's walking with Christ in white. Now, nine times in the book of Revelation, we have these white garments, white raiment. Everything's spotless. I think one of the precious things awaiting us is to walk with Him in white. You're going to have a little walk with Jesus someday. Isn't that wonderful? I can never forget the first time that I went to a big conference. And I hesitated. And I said to my wife when I went, I don't know what I'm going to do there. She said, well, tell them a little bit about the Lord. That's all you're good for anyhow. So you just tell them a little bit about the Lord. You don't have to talk about yourself. Well, I did give a little word. And one of the giants amongst us is in heaven now. I felt it an honor to be on the platform with him. He took me by the arm and said, take a little walk, Peter. Took a little walk with him. Well, here were the Christians, because rather warm, they were all lined up, sitting and watching, and I walked down the avenue with my arm in this man. They didn't know little me. They knew him. And I was walking with him. Think of it. I was walking with him. When Gabriel sees you walking with Jesus, hey, I never did that. Michael, I never did that. He never loved me that much. And he'll flip his arm in yours and walk. John's occupied with his walk. It was while he was walking that he was attracted to it. And in the close of his gospel, he's walking by the side of Galilee. Walking with him. In garments what? Just like him and with him forever. Isn't that precious? But then there's not only companionship and complacency, walking with him and being just like him, having garments white. Listen, our record's on high. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I'm not going to enter into a theological discussion as to the possibility of it being blotted out. I'm going to take it just as it is. I'm not going to do it. I haven't got an eraser on my pencil. I don't make mistakes. I'm not going to write your name down and then blot it out. I've got the record on high. Philip Morrow came to our town some years ago. And we had scheduled meetings for him in our little hall. It's held a little over 100, maybe 150. But when others in our town heard of his coming, We had to rent one of the large halls, St. Cecilia Building, because everybody knew Philip Miles. And they were having a conference at Calvin College at the time, and Professor Kaiser was there, and Machen, and Kyle, and other notable men of the Presbyterian Church, and men of God they were. And so they got him to be on the platform with them, and he took poor little me along with him. And after the session, we went through college. I've gone through college. Calvin College. There was one book that interested me. It was Who Is Who? Starting with A and ending with C, and he turned to M, Morrow. Sure enough, his name was there. An attorney at law. Won a case for the Italian nation. Wrote books. And they called his most famous book, Abolition at the Bar. Well, I thought, that's a lovely book. I'm going to get my pencil and pad and find out what they say about me. My wife thinks I'm the best fellow in the world. So I turned to T, and what do you think I discovered? I wasn't as big as I thought it was. Never even mentioned it. No record there. But listen, there's a record up there. You know what I think will be behind John the Baptist's name? What they said of him on earth. John did no miracle, but whatever John said about this man, he had something good to say about Jesus. Have you and I? God has a book of remembrance. And whatever we say about his beloved son, he delights so much in it that he's got a record up there. He has. And then there's one other thing here. It says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will confess his name. Dale Carnegie says, if you want to make friends, remember folks' names. That's why I have so few friends. I can't remember anybody's name. That's why Brother Welcome so famously likable and what else can I do? He remembers everybody's name. And there isn't anything that folks like to hear better than their own name. Now don't say no, because I thought it wasn't true of me. And I was in Pomona, California one time, just sitting in the park, taking it easy, when I heard somebody say, Peter Pell. What do you think I did? Huh? I think I just sat there complacently and... What do you think? No. And I wonder how in the world he ever got a hold of that name. Why they mentioned it and so on. When I was a boy, we had in our home a little register where the heat would go up into the bedroom. Very little of it went, but anyhow. There it was. And one time my folks said, now, you got to go to bed. It's a place I never liked to go. I wondered why. Soon discovered. A couple of the brethren came over and they were going to talk about me. I heard my name as I went past that register. How far do you think I got? My name was mentioned. You know that your name's going to be mentioned in heaven? Oh, you say it's going to take a long time. Well, say that it takes 3 million years before they come to your name. I thought of that when we had that on that lawn. Each one named. And a little something said about each one. 16 stats are Roman, a name. Sometimes just the name, but sometimes a little something about it.
Oh, listen. The recompense is so wonderful.
So, say a word for him now. Let him be manifested now in your life. Let that be your ambition.
We are television. People look at us and people expect to hear something from us. Let them see Christ in us, in our lives, and let them hear
the words that bring life and cheer and blessing to those who listen.
Jonathan spoke well of David in the presence of Saul and his enemies. Dear child of God, let us speak well of our blessed Savior, and with our eyes fixed on the man in the glory, may it be seen of us, said of us, as they took notice of the disciples, will it be received. And as they said of Elijah, the Spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elijah.
Shall we stand here?